Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having Christopher St. Booth. He's going to talk about his career and his business. And if you have any questions, please feel free to call in at 347-324-3460, or you can pose a question in the chat room and we'll read it on the air. Christopher, well, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Great, thank you. I guess to begin with, like I was explaining just before we got started, kind of tell us about yourself. Audience kind of always like the personal view, and also they learn something more about the person when they get their own information about where they're from and how they got started.
Well, I think in general, I'm pretty much an artist all the way around. We've been, me and my twin brother actually formed businesses doing entertainment about 30 years ago. Started in the music business, of course. We were in some very successful bands that toured and made some gold records and eventually ended up in Los Angeles, where we started into the movie business and actually crossed over the music business with the movie business, started publishing, started writing more songs, soundtracks, so to speak. And we actually started then filming. And that was, I think, where everything really took off, is because after that point, we were producing, directing, writing, we're doing everything, even the art direction, mostly because we wanted the product to look the way we wanted it. We had a very artistic approach to it, and we wanted it to look, I guess, a signature of our style. So before we started making a lot of pictures for Sony, and we did, before you knew it, we started doing documentaries for the Sci-Fi Channel, and we were doing a lot of paranormal stuff because we were filming a movie at the time, and it was really haunted on the set that we were actually on.
Wow.
So that actually opened up our whole mind to the paranormal. When you're actually out there shooting a horror movie in a haunted building, and actually it really becomes haunted. So Sci-Fi thought that was a great concept to do several shows on it. So we're on our 9th show for Sci-Fi Channel now, and then we're now on Chiller Channel, which is another NBC channel, and we're doing a reality show right now. So it just keeps growing and changing.
Wow, congratulations.
So that's a little bit about it. Thank you. That's a little bit about it. So.
I guess, you know, let's take a step back into the 70s. I guess growing up in Yorkshire, England, did you realize that this is what you wanted to do? Did you want to go into music or you wanted to go into film? Do you have any idea during that time that's where you're going to be, where you are today?
I think that we're always, when you're an artist, I don't know if you really know exactly which direction you're going to go. I think that we were very involved in music. I mean, we were, the Beatles was our favorite, so we were following the Beatles, and that was very inspiring, and we would be running around. Both of us were identical twins, so we'd be running around at 4 years old with plastic guitars, playing the Beatles songs, and then that stuck. I mean, we had, Tim? I think for some reason we just had this famous, we had to be famous or something. I don't know what it was, but we had to do something that was, entertainment. And I think that's what started it. And of course, as you go through the entertainment, things change and things lure you, especially in the business world, what makes sense to do at the right time.
Wow. So how did you, when you were growing up, you and your brother, did you guys in high school take music classes, or did you take them privately to get there, or you just had the raw talent? And some people just don't have to have any musical training whatsoever, but they hear it in their mind, their soul, and they just go and just play and sing. Was that the same with you?
I think that we only had a really few lessons as far as just the start off, for, like, say, for guitar. Phil played guitar, my twin brother, and I played bass guitar, and then I became a singer and then a keyboard player. We only had a few starter lessons. It really was, everything was just watching and sponging everything going up around you that, you know, inspired you. You'd see something that inspired you, and you go, I want to do that. I want to do that. And I wanted to learn that. I wanted to, you know, go that way. So it was kind of just picking up as we went along. It was like even when we were doing the music, when we were doing the music business, you'd start writing songs and you would start doing to the next thing. And then you would do the music videos. And then you wanted to learn how to do the music videos. And then you would learn how to do that. And you'd be on a set, say, doing art department for a big movie from like 20th Century or something. You see the director or producer running around, and you go like, "That's cool. I think I could do that." So you kind of just learned as you went along, and that's what we did.
So who inspired you when you were growing up?
Well, I mean, a lot of obviously the Beatles as far as music, and we grew up in the pretty much in the 70s, so it was like David Bowie as far as music. All the glam rock at that time was going on. And when we got into film, it was like Ridley Scott for Blade Runner and you know, Gladiator, and David Lynch and Tim Burton, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, just anything I think that was dark or anything that was looked at the world different, that had kind of an edge on it. We were inspired by the edge.
Wow. So any particular element when you're actually going through your film career, if there's someone that you would like to sit on a set with, maybe who's not living today, who was a master of horror movies or paranormal, who would that be?
Well, I think, to be honest, I wouldn't, you know, frame it in the word paranormal horror, because I think when you even think of paranormal can happen in any location, in any sort of thing. So for the filmmaker, it'd be probably Ridley Scott, because he makes brilliant films. And Tim Burton, of course, he makes quirky films and very good-looking films to look at as far as art direction. So I think, you know, those are the filmmakers. As far as musicians, I think Peter Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a great mind, and he's also, he cares about the world, and that's a great thing, you know. People like Bono and Peter Gabriel and even Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails. Anybody that's innovative is anybody that's inspiring, and it could even be somebody that's even not done anything. It's just the aura and the way they move and the way they talk and the energy they put out. As long as it's inspiring, you want to be around those people.
Wow. When we're talking about a particular style, I know you're kind of like is being led for a particular style. How do you describe your particular style?
It's a good point. It changes. I mean, musically, it's gone from, you know, basically rock and roll to R&B to soundtracks to world music to alternative music. So, I mean, I remix as well, you know, and we own our own studios, recording and film and video. So we can sit in there and change, you know, whatever inspires us, change the style. So as far as I think anything that's dark or has an emotional impact, you know, even in our horror movies that we make, they're not like slasher movies. They're not like, you know, serial killer murder movies. They're there to inspire. They make you think. They're more like psychological thrillers, or so to speak, like anything that inspires you to think about, you know, a situation. So I think our style is inspirationally dark, I guess.
Well, that's a good point. Talking about inspirationally dark. And it seems that, like you mentioned, that it's moving. It's a moving target that you're still growing and you're still building, and you're just going how you feel, and that's what's leading you. When you take that particular direction, how do you see yourself being led? I know you talked about, I think on here, the paranormal, and you talk about this thing right here, but if you go into filmmaking itself, and if you go on like a tide, where do you think? You think you're just moving from here to there in the same genre to trying to find out you know, what, I'm not going to say really what speaks to you, but, and that's maybe a good point, because some people speak to certain things by project. Are you spoken by project, or are you spoken by a particular genre, if that makes sense?
Well, what I think is what leads is what inspires you, and I think, like, just as music changes, and even film changes, and even television changes, and even the, as the world is changing, you know, I think that you get, you fall into what you feel is right. So I think that where we're heading is more deeper projects, more emotional projects, more world-changing projects, more world-helping projects, even though it could be horror, even though it could be supernatural or paranormal, or it could be, I don't think it'd ever be a romantic comedy, but it would. But I mean, nothing wrong with that, but I'm not sure if we could do one. But, you know, just anything that's very worldly, that makes you feel something. When the music, when we write the music, it has to make you feel something and move. It has to inspire something in you. So I think, as far as where we're going, I think it's where everybody's going. It's just keeping your eyes open. And ascension is probably the good point of it. Everybody needs to ascend to the next level, be more courteous, be more caring, be more compassionate. I think you can put that in anything you do.
Is there a component out of your artistry? Is it a spiritual component that guides you, or a creative component that you have all of these things in your head and you're trying to get them out, your creativity? And you, when you do that, is if most people like music, you go from the heart and you're trying to combine that with the head. And are you more led towards what your heart is, what I'm thinking, that leads you, then you know what your head, where you want to go?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, it's funny because when you wake up with an idea, you know, your idea has to comes from your heart or your head, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to get through your fingers or through your eyes or through your expressive system to be able to then express it and then be able to capture it. So sometimes those views change. But I think, you know, I'm very much in the sort of the Buddhist flow of life, meaning it's compassionate, meaning very caring and spiritual and really that way. But I think just look, you know, you can look at, you know, when you go outside, you just look at people, you can get very inspired by their movements and in the sense of how they do their everyday routine, but you can do it a little bit different or maybe a little bit better if you can help them understand that it's not a routine or whatever it may be. But I think we're blessed by looking above the situation or looking into the situation deeper, and then you can see the good as well as you can see the dark. So then you can bring that back to your project.
Wow. When you have these ideas and thoughts that comes to you, how do they come to you? In the middle of the night or during the day as you're driving your car? How these thoughts come to you?
Well, I don't know. I guess you're just thinking and you just start staring at something, but you see it differently than, I guess, maybe a non-creative. Everybody's creative, but I mean a sense of the, I guess, professional creation where you actually stare at it and you can't think of, you know, that movie like Beautiful Mind, you can't focus on what maybe other people focusing on. You're focusing on telling the same story but different. So I think it's all around you, whether it's in the supermarket and this, you know, or you're in Walmart, which is a lot of weird things in Walmart. But, you know, there's a lot of things going on that just inspire you and go like, that is weird. That would, you know, that'd be great in a movie, or that would be, you know, that kind of situation. And as far as the location ideas, we have a lot of people that say you should go here and do a story about this and or whatever. And what we usually do is we look and see. We tell a lot of underdog stories. So if a story means that it's going to help some, you know, somebody, inspire somebody, then that's the story we end up picking. And a story that's never been told.
Wow, absolutely. So even if you walk in Walmart and you see something that sparks something in you that say, oh my gosh, this would be a good thing to write about, because you can get all type of stories in Walmart across the board.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you just walk in any time during the day. Kind of amazing. You're about the third person that said that within the past month as an artist. They said that, you know, you really, sometimes they say going to Walmart is a filmmaker's dream, because you see so much and you see how reality is really is. I mean, it is what it is, from one extreme to another. We're going to take a break real quick, and we'll be back in a moment with Christian St. Booth, and we're talking about his filmmaking, his career. Be back in one moment.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
Well, welcome back. I'm with Christopher St. Booth again. We're talking about his career. If you're going to look at filmmaking itself and music, what advice would you give a person, up-and-coming filmmaker, what they need to do to get themselves started?
Well, be real and be very committed and understand it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take some time, and be very smart about your business moves. And as far as a business situation, never sign with somebody that's not willing to give you something up front. Mostly like, when people sign, you know, they say, well, hey, you know, I could do this and do that. And they go, well, yeah, but what are they offering you? And if they're not really offering you something that really makes sense, you shouldn't do it just because you think it's going to be a break. Because if they really believe in you, they will offer it to you without even saying you have to pay them for their services or whatever. So you just don't run to a contract, because if a contract will bind you and it could kill easily 5 years of your career while you're waiting to get out of that contract. So that's be an important thing, is to watch your back and just keep it real and stay focused and really know what you want to do, but also realize, especially if you're in the entertainment business, you're doing it for other people. You're not doing it for yourself, meaning that you have to do something that other people would buy, not you.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you're more of an artist, and we all know a lot of artists, unfortunately, don't sell a lot of things. So there's a fine line. You can be an artist, but you also realize that you're doing it for the public.
How would you know from being an artist then versus a producer or director, how can you discern between the two?
Between producer and director?
Well, between being an artist and being a person who's going to appeal to the mean.
That's really difficult. I mean, that's a very difficult job. I mean, a funny story is when I was 33, I played Jesus on the cross in a music video, you know, mm-hmm. and we were doing a music video, and I, for some reason, I was to play Jesus in it. And that was just always, it was just like so weird, because as Jesus, so to speak, or as an artist, everybody on the set needs to eat, because that's what Jesus do. But as a producer, when you were Jesus, like, you know, not everybody mm-hmm. could eat, because they weren't getting paid for it. You know, it's like a budget. So like a producer, in the sense of like, have to budget, when artists have no care about a budget. They just want to do what they want to do, where a producer's job really is to say, you know, it's that musician who keeps going over that same one line in a song saying, it's not good enough, it's not good enough. Well, if to produce a job and say, it's good enough, time to move on, move on to the next part. And an artist never finishes his work. He abandons it. Where a producer has to finish his work, and
wow,
as quick as possible.
Wow.
As quick as
possible. Wow, that really makes sense. That really makes sense. I really appreciate you sharing it with us. And you know, schools like, I'm not going to mention one in particular, but you have, you know, schools, vocational schools across the country, who has a very good reputation. If a person who's coming from out of high school and they want to look at a film career, if they go down this production way, go down this actor way, which I'm going to get to in a few minutes, if they go down to the producers, are those vocational schools or colleges or good resources to start with? Or you really just need to get into the industry, go to Los Angeles, go where the action is, and try to work your way up? Or should you just go to a person like, go get your degree first, then try to go from there?
That's a catch-22, because I have feelings on both those concepts. One of them is like, you know, say you want to learn how to play guitar. It's okay to get the basic lessons, but be careful that the guitar player or the person that's teaching you how to play is not teaching them how to play the way they play, not the way you're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like in a school, it's okay to know the basics, but be very careful that you don't get stuck with learning the techniques that they teach you as being only the technique, meaning that you have to understand that the techniques can be developed from just doing it on hands experience. It's okay to know the basics, but don't like close your mind. There are too many interns today that come on a set. We have a lot of them come on a set that think they know everything, and or they know this is the way it's to be done. And what they know actually hurts them because it stops them from doing something completely different that would have, you know, made something incredible or made even new developments in music and film. So I think it's okay to know the basics, but know when to pull out.
Mm-hmm.
And don't learn their technique. You must learn your own. And as far as going on hands-on experience, there is nothing better than going and just going out and doing it and not, you know, learning how to do it, but actually learning the techniques and then. So I think a bit of both is good, but there's nothing better than going out and being on as many sets and then sitting back. After all, it's where we learned is from sitting back and learning from other people in the sense of what to do and what not to do.
Is it really easy to try to get those particular jobs itself?
I don't think particularly anything is easy nowadays.
Okay.
You know, honestly, it's they say that there's a saying that basically if you do what you love, then the river will flow. It's not like going up current river where it's constantly knocking you over, as long as you do what you love. Well, I agree with that, but unfortunately, can we do what we love and make money doing it? If you can, then you really are successful. And that doesn't matter what amount of money you've been making. If you can really do what you love and you make money doing it, then you've got it made. So as far as easy, in the film business, you're going to end up doing a lot, or music business, you're going to have to do a lot of free internship until, you know, your time is to, you know, move up to the next degree. But I mean, if you see, the thing about an artist, Tim, is if you're an artist,
mm-hmm.
you're going to do it no matter whether you want to do it or not. You're going to do it whether you feel that you can't do it. You're going to do it because it's a desire, it's a demand, it's an addiction that you must get up and create. You must get up and go do something and tell somebody a story. You have to do it.
Wow. If a person, for example, let's take the other end of it as being the producer or film person who's coming up, let's take the actor mode. If an actor or actress want to come up, same scenario, what can they expect if they even come to you and you have an open, I'm not sure what you call it, open cast, and they come out to do an audition? What's your expectation of them when they come on set to audition?
Well, to come come professional, obviously. Come not afraid to let go and give it their all and to be prepared for the part, whatever it may be. You're not necessarily, you don't have to be in wardrobe, say if you're trying out for whatever part that matches it, but it helps. You know, there's only so much time and it goes by quick. It's like when all these people are sending 8x10 shots of themselves completely in the wrong direction, then we're going to have to imagine what they look like. So it does help if you kind of send something that looks like it may fit. If you're looking for a vampire, it helps you to look like a vampire, so to speak.
Okay.
So that kind of concept.
So kind of bring a part of that character and that look and that feel so they don't have to imagine it in their head. You're actually doing their job for them, and then that makes it a lot easier for the casting director or the person to kind of say, oh, yeah, this might work. And then that talent has to pull them through the entire
thing. Yeah, because time is everything. You know, nobody's got the time. You know, nobody's got the time to, you know, in the olden days, in both film and music, there was something called development,
mm-hmm.
where they would be an audience, and they're still doing it on TV, though I don't really know how many shows really end up being on television that they develop, because who's got the R&D anymore? Who's got the D money, the development money to put out there and hope that it's going to take off? They're much vaster to see something that's already clicking and then pick you up. So basically, if you go ahead and do your own development and you know what you're doing, that's also where a producer comes in. You can maybe even sell your own stuff. You're much better off that a label or a company is going to come to you and say, well, you've already proven that you can sell to, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. Now it's the next step. We can take you and put you in front of millions.
Great. If you have like a definition, what is a director? What is a producer for the layman term? I have a question here. Can you kind of define that in the simplest terms? What is a director? What is a producer?
Yes. A director is someone that basically directs the way things go on. Like, we'll just say if Tim walks into the room, he comes and turns the TV on and sits on the couch. So here we are filming Tim coming in, and then we stop. No, we don't like the way you walk. Or no, you need to turn the TV on more dramatic, more like you're pissed off or whatever the scene is, so to speak, or you're more happy, whatever the scene is. And then when you sit on the couch, you know, give the body language like you don't care. That's what the character is. So we direct you how you do things, so to speak. And on film is how your emotions go and how the scene plays off with the, we feel that the audience gets as heavy as they need to get here or scared as here. Where a producer, he starts making sure that everything gets done on budget, done on time. And, obviously everybody. The producer is probably one of the worst jobs in the world. Mm-hmm. Executive producer is meaning one that pretty much finances it. A producer meaning people that literally make sure that they get people hired, they get things done, they put out fires, they even please the director. And, of course, again, the director is in charge of making sure that all the right things match the script and match exactly what he's trying to say. And then the producer at that end of the game takes it to the studios and then sells it.
Okay. In that process of today, we're going back for the last 25 years, things has really changed within the film and the music industry. Is it harder today or easier today to get noticed or to get your product out?
I think it's both. It's easier because there's more ways of showing it via the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's harder because it's a catch-22. There's that word again. There's a lot more ways of showing it so people can see it, but at the same time, it's a lot harder to get picked up because there's a lot more ways of showing it, meaning that it's watered down on exclusivity. So like if a channel wants to show your movie, say, a TV station wants to show your movie, but they realize you've already shown it and it's all over Netflix and digital download and VOD, there's no exclusivity in it anymore. so they don't know why they're buying it for, because they need everybody to tune to this station to watch it. So basically, if you're going to overkill it, then realize you're going to be independent, and then your second one you do, make it exclusive by only giving it to, you know, the channel that needs it. So it's just a business of understanding how it works, and it changes all the time. So you have to be very aware.
Okay. Has companies like Netflix have made the job a lot easier since now people have all these different mediums of watching TV shows? They're not exclusive with cable anymore. The premium channels are not like they used to be, and network TV is not the way they used to be. This open source, or if we say this open system of communication and seeing things, is it easier for the independent in that sense? But however, it makes it harder, like you just mentioned, for if you want to be exclusive with a studio.
And again, both. It's like it makes it you know, the best way for an independent artist, I would say, which is really great advice, is to try to get something self-financed and put it out there free and basically get as many hits, as many people to watch it. I mean, there are many successful music artists that do it. They release their single for free, and before they know it, it becomes viral. It becomes six million hits, and that means you've got an audience now. You've got a backing, and that backing will then get you an offer from the studio.
Wow.
But at the same time, that product you release for free, don't expect them to be interested in it, because they won't make any money on it. So you have to give one away. It's like George Clooney. You make an art film, then you make one that makes money. You know, you go out and give one out there, get your following, and then do your next track, and then sign with somebody.
I'll follow. Make it, just like Facebook.
Exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, Facebook is a very good medium if you become popular on it, and you can also keep away the drama as well at the same time.
So now the people and your customers and your attention is what your value is, and from there, give a little, and you get, and go from there.
Yeah.
Absolutely makes sense. I guess kind of bring us back to the very beginning and to become a filmmaker. What do you normally see your projects in the next few years? You have some more projects coming out?
We've done hundreds and hundreds of films in our, mm-hmm. in our career. So we just released a new title, which is called Children of the Grave 2, which you can check out at childrenofthegrave2.com. And it's basically a sequel to the one that was on Sci-Fi Channel a few years, Children of the Grave, and that's about haunted and ghost children, which is pretty incredible. But we've done everything from The Exorcist story to stories about asylums, tuberculosis sanitariums, whatever it may be, cool stuff like that. What's in our future is more motion pictures and more music, and a reality show that we're working on right now, and then the documentaries we've taken a break from. We basically want to stick more time back into motion pictures because we're kind of creatively bored with the documentaries at this time.
Oh, wow. So with the back, if you go back to film itself, if there's a particular film that speaks who you are of all the works you've done, is there any particular one that stands out?
Well, I think one of the movies we did for Sony Pictures called Death Tunnel, which was about a haunted sanatorium and a 500-foot tunnel that they used to put bodies through, is done really well artistically, mm-hmm. art directing-wise. Music is crossed between, you know, full orchestra, Nine Inch Nails, so it has a little bit of everything that we wanted to put creatively. I think that's a really good interpretation of a commercial style, with another movie we did called Dark Place is a good interpretation of a more deeper artistic file, kind of like psychological thriller that has every scene looks great. Every character has its own personality. Every dialogue is like a poem. That's our movie called Dark Place, which is very, very intensely like a Salvador Dali vision. So those are very fun. But everything we do, we put our heart and soul in. So, you know, everything has a little piece of us.
What do you see yourself in the next 10 years?
If not in a sane asylum.
We're not going to claim that one.
Yeah, exactly. Now, probably I hope doing more bigger world movies, more things that brings together the human being, putting the being back in the human, so to speak. Just doing more stuff to help the world and ascending and being, you know, obviously very happy.
Wow. And if you were like 100 years from now, your work's going to speak for itself and become a classic. So how you like to be remembered?
As caring, as inspiring, just inspiring you to not accept what sometimes it seems like you've been given, to say no. It's never too late to change. It's never too late to try again, or it's never too late to do what I've... Every morning you want to live your fullest potential of what God has given you. So you just really want to be who you want to be. If it's not today, when you wake up tomorrow, just say, tomorrow I'm going to be who I'm going to be.
Absolutely. Well, Christopher, well said. I really appreciate you coming on to the show, sharing 30 minutes with us. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Christopher St. Booth.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Have a good one. Take care. Bye-bye. This has been another production of The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this episode on iTunes on Blog Talk Radio. Everybody, have a great day. And thank you, Christopher.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to The Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.